Tomorrow, the Oscar nominations will be announced in Los Angeles. Oddsmaker.com says The Social Network is the film to beat. And for the top underdog, they pick Winter's Bone, the little indie jewel that's already picked up 7 Independent Spirit Award nominations, including one for Best Picture and Best Actress for star Jennifer Lawrence, who plays Ree Dolly, a teenager scratching out a life in the Ozark Mountains of Missouri, taking care of her mentally ill mother and her younger siblings after their father Jessup disappears. The job gets even harder when the local sheriff shows up and tells her that Jessup is a bail jumper.
Where you all come into this is, he put this house here and your timber acres up for his bond.
He what now?
Jessup signed over everything. Now, if he doesn't show at trial, see, the way the deal works is, you all gonna lose this place.
So Ree sets out to find her father and save the family home, a dangerous quest made more so because pretty much everybody in her extended family is, like Jessup, involved in the local crystal meth trade. They have a code of silence and no hesitation about using violence to protect themselves, even against kin like Ree. Winter's Bone is based on the novel by Daniel Woodrell. The film was co-written and directed by Deborah Granick and also stars John Hawkes as Ree's Uncle Teardrop. Both are also Independent Spirit nominees, and Here Now's Emiko Tamagawa spoke with them when Winter's Bone first opened. She asked Deborah about filming in the Ozarks.
To do this project, it required us grounding it in a real place, and we didn't waver from our desire to shoot in southern Missouri because the book is written in great detail. We almost felt desperate to get as close as we could. You know, I felt sometimes like kind of clawing the gravel, if you will, because it's like that gravel, that sound of that gravel, the dust that it throws up, sort of the way that Teardrops learn to drive on it. You know, all those things we needed to make the story come to life.
And John Hawkes, you're shooting this in a place where you're not going to have a trailer or, you know, some of the amenities. Does it help you with your character?
For Teardrop, it was especially important to have, for me, to have a sense of missing things and an incompleteness and not everything there. So to that end, I'm not a method actor, but I didn't bring enough winter clothing purposefully. I didn't bring books to read, things I would normally love to do in off time. I left myself kind of hang.
And the thing about your character, Teardrop, and his relationship to Ree, it's fascinating to watch over the course of the film because you're never quite certain at any point if he's going to give her a hug or if he's going to kill her. I mean, either possibility seems to be there in certain moments.
That's true, and I felt that was really important to the story, that he's a real complicator, seemingly, to her journey, that he's an obstacle, that he is someone who we don't know yet. We don't know what he's going to do to her or with her.
Jesus. Dad's your only brother.
You think I forgot that? Jessup and me run together for coming on 40 years, but I don't know where he's at, and I ain't gonna go around asking after him neither.
A lot of the characters are involved in or addicted to crystal meth. It's, you know, just sort of underneath the surface and then very apparent at other times. We've heard a little bit that the crystal meth, you know, in recent years has been less of a problem and replaced by things like OxyContin, but you actually talked to a sheriff when you were researching this film about the meth problem in that area.
Daniel Woodrell's novel and the film never felt like it was something to pin on this region in any way particularly, but yet it is an obstacle. In addition to other obstacles that a family like Ree's family might face, that is definitely one of them that would have brushed by in the last decade and a half. And what I found most intense when I did meet that sheriff was that so many, there's no other. So many of the people that he had arrested and so many places where he had gone where there was evidence of meth use and meth damage were classmates of his, you know. So it was, there was nothing about triumphs of stings or, you know, nothing like that. It was sort of this raw, personal, gruesome journey he had to take, a form of a death and destruction beat, if you will.
My son-in-law was out here this afternoon. Everything all right?
He's hunting for Dad.
Hunting Jessup, is he? You know where he's at?
No.
You sure about that?
Yes.
All right. All right, well, I guess you didn't have nothing to tell him then, did you?
I wouldn't tell him nothing if I did.
Well, the thing about this film that I thought was so interesting was all of its ideas of family. What is family? I think the family is something you want to go to, but this particular family, and also just because this extended family is also so dangerous.
That's sort of Ree's little insight into the sort of the best part of her family, is that you learn some good things, some very solid good things. Certain things I do. I protect my family. I stand on my porch, and I've been told that I don't let people enter just because they claim they have a right to. You know, that I feel fierce. I'm a lioness, you know, or something. I protect my little ones. I feel like the danger gets so augmented and almost, if you want, poisoned by this notion whenever a family starts to be involved in an illegal activity, and there's money, and there's stakes involved. And it's not unique to the Ozarks by any means. I mean, we think globally, people do attempt to make money all over the world, especially in hardscrabble situations. And some of those practices end up dividing people very, very viciously.
What is it you want?
I got a real bad need to talk with Thump.
And he ain't got no need to talk to you.
But I need to. I really, really got to, ma'am, please. Some of our blood at least is the same. Ain't that supposed to mean something?
What do you want people to take from this film?
I'm not sure exactly what I want them to take other than to be, hopefully be transported to a place they may not know well. Most of us don't. I still don't. I know a little bit more about it having been there, but I hope that people will take the journey with Ree and the rest of us, and hopefully it matters somehow to people.
One thing that touched us so much and was unexpected, unplanned, was being very infected by the beautiful music that is extremely prevalent in the Ozark region. Music is a kind of medicine, and it's been a long-running tradition. And so we tried to also, in this film that deals with a hardscrabble life and a very difficult set of circumstances, to make sure that there was also glimpses of some of the lyricism. So trying to also find very important, undeniably sweet strands of existence that can happen in what I would call a life with very little buffer.
Hush, by my baby, slumber time is coming soon. Rest your head upon my breast while mama hums a tune.
Deborah Granick, I wanted to ask you, this is a lovely little film, but in a way it's not, I don't know, it's not Avatar. You know, is this the way, though, that you as a director want to continue to work?
I don't need for the budgets of the films I get involved to get so much bigger. I don't need anyone to make any form of profit. I do need people to make a living wage. I do need to meet all union obligations. We could still find rich and complicated stories, hungry, super talented, excellent actors that are willing to take a risk, and we could keep going and try to tell, kind of fierce American stories. They don't have to be American. I'm just saying, right now, I am very, very, very invested in trying to tell more stories from different regions here. But so it's not that anything has to get grandiose, but they have to just meet this one little bar, which is pay back the brave people that invest.
They're like the stars on a summer morning. They'll first appear, and then they're gone. They'll tell to you some loving story, and then pretend.